we have a lesson on, it's called His Plans and Purposes. His Plans and Purposes. And that's a phrase made up by Dorothea, this is a partial, maybe we would call memorial, or, you know, in memory of her, and also, you know, something that she would like to hear if she were here. Let's go ahead and open up in a word of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father and great God above all, we come here tonight humbly asking you for your Holy Spirit to talk to us and get us to know you a little bit better. We thank you for each one here and for the faithfulness we share. These things we pray in your name. Amen. Okay, now, a lot of you folks knew Dorothea. Maybe some of you never met her. But she was in this movement for over 60 years, or close to 60 years, I should say. She knew a lot of the older people. If you ever got her talking about the old days of when she first got into it, she had a whole lot of interesting stories, and she met people like Stuart Allen and others. And one day I was on the phone with her, and I used the word giant, giants in the faith. And then I said, well, I guess we shouldn't call them giants. And she said, yes, we should. She said, they're all giants. And she was talking about the Welches and the Bullingers and so forth. But that was her attitude toward the church, which is his body. And she was a unique person, but then each and every one of us are unique in our own ways. And none of us really know what each other went through to get to this point in life where we are right now. And let's see, Alan Schofield one time he was here and he said, I try not to get involved in those kind of discussions because if I would have went through the same thing that particular person did, I would have probably messed up worse than them. That's a good attitude. It's kind of like the Apostle Paul. He was a loving, caring person. But anyway, Dorothea knew him, obviously, and it all comes down to acknowledging the truth. Anybody who will acknowledge the truth, I believe in my own mind, they're worthy of double honor in that sense. It's one thing to show up for church and, you know, that acknowledges, you know, yeah, you're taking a stand there, but no, she did. She talked about it to other people. Now, when Tony first died a few years, 3 years back or whatever it is, I called her right after that. And she was sort of going through a time, you know, a new beginning, so to speak, because I don't think she had fully accepted the fact that she was all alone. And she was 86 at the time. So I called her up thinking, yeah, maybe I could, you know, cheer her up or whatever. But anyway, she started talking to me and telling me how young I am. And here, I'm 70 years old. So she started, and I'm ready to, you know, no, not really. But anyway, she almost bought into it. She got me believing that I was young, and she was 16 years older than me, still driving. And but at the time, she had went through something miraculous when she moved to Idaho. And it all happened in a short period of time, and that's when she would use the word plan and purpose in her own life, his plans and purposes. And this has to do with an unveiling and a continual unveiling that the Bible has about his plans and purposes. And the way she tells it, though, it was a real intricate thing, how this thing had to happen first. That and this other thing happened over here, and you know, and you'd put these things together type of thing. And that really, that was really a subject that, you know, really got her talking on it. One time after, I was talking to her after she got up to the place up there in Idaho, and some lady told her, said, "Boy, you seem like you have peace of mind," or something like that, and you know, like you have it together type of comment. And nothing could have thrilled her more than that. And if you think about it, nothing, you know, when you're commended for something you do right, there's nothing better. I remember one time I got a raise, and usually you'd get 25 cents raise, and that was substantial. But this time I got a 50 cent raise, and I told my boss, I said, I didn't even expect that. I only expected a quarter. And he said, "You're worth every penny of it, and maybe even a little bit more." Well, folks, that kind of thing builds you up. And that helps, we help others when we do that. And she was good at that also. She was, and that was her thing. If she could help somebody, that was like the greatest thing in the world. So I told her, "Here, I called you up, and thinking I'm going to cheer you up, and you know, about the 70 years old am I anyway." Yeah, she told me that really made her day that time. But anyway, let's see. Yeah, so everything that happened up to that point, she saw the Lord's hand in it. She especially liked it when people would talk in the Hebrew or the Greek language and explain it in a way that, if it was compared to English, perhaps, that, you know, she Hebrew and Greek, if she could ever learn anything new, it was like it made her day. So, and also she came to all of her conferences here in Arizona. So, you know, I feel like that, she deserves honor. That we couldn't be with her up there, obviously, but we can at least, you know, send her out in a way that we have all of our saints here, and over the last many years where we've seen them go. But it's not a sad thing. It's not a sad thing. As we go on, I think I'm going to bring out that point somewhat. Okay, for starters, let's turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 4. And we're going to read verses 1 through 4, where it says, Solomon talking, "So I returned and considered all the oppressions that are done under the sun, and behold, the tears of such as were oppressed, and they had no comforter, and on the side of their oppressors there was power, but they had no comforter." Two times we see they had no comforter, and that's given for emphasis, that whenever you see that. Verse 2, "Wherefore I commend," that's the word there, it, or I, you know, "I considered them the dead, which are already deader than the living, which are yet alive." First I say it's not a bad thing, and then we start reading Solomon in Ecclesiastes. Verse 3, "Yea, better is he than both they which hath not yet been, who hath not seen the evil work that is done under the sun." Let's see. Yeah, that one, let's see. You know, when I was a kid, you know, I was kind of shielded from the world. My dad was a minister and so forth. I went to school, but I assumed everyone was like, you know, holy, so to speak. But as time goes on and you see the things that really go on in the world, yeah, it's kind of a transition that we have to go through. And that's, I think this verse 3 talks to that. Better is he than both they, which have not seen any of this. Better in an earthly sense. You know, it's something, it's a war, it's a battle that we go through, but and we grow as we do it. We get stronger as we do it. Let's see, if you remember, again, I say rejoice. That was her call here on Pal Talk. She would be writing stuff the whole time we would be talking. You know, she would make a comment, always something to do with how great the Lord is. These are things here, and in verse 4 it says, let's see, verse 4 says, again, I consider all travail and every right work that for this a man is envied of his neighbor. This is also vanity and vexation of spirit. So, I remember they're used, and this is non-believers. This verse is written to believers, though, but a non-believer had, there used to be a license plate, and it said, he who dies with the most toys wins. And I actually had a business partner once, much to my chagrin, who lived by that mentality. These things are vanity and vexation of spirit. Next, we're going to read a few more verses here in Ecclesiastes. Now, one verse you know is there is a time for war. Now, think about that. Here God made us man on earth, and it's inevitable that we're going to have war. There's a time for it. Sometimes you have to tear things down before you can build them back up. And that's also in Ecclesiastes 3, which I'm not going to look up. But have you ever wondered why God chose Solomon, of all the wisest men in the world, why he chose him, and yet he's the one with, you know, that went against the commandments and had all these wives and so forth? Well, let's say he would have picked Solomon with all this wisdom, and Solomon would turn out to be the perfect example of a human being. Then people might say, well, God gave him wisdom, though. That's, maybe he has a one-up on us. But God does not favor any man. So God has his reasons for everything, his plans and purposes, as Dorothea would say. In 5:10 of Ecclesiastes, let's see, 5:10, he that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is also vanity. So here we have, this goes along with what I just said in 4:4. And now let's go down to verse 15. As he came forth of his mother's womb, naked shall he return to go as he came, and shall take nothing of his labor which he may carry away in his hand. So everyone has their portion, and Solomon says, everyone has their portion here on life, and don't feel guilty for that. You know, you get, that's your portion. That was allotted to you. Don't feel guilty about going on vacations or you know, things, different things. If you really earned it, you know. So that's your portion in life. And you'll see that in verse 18. Behold, that which I have seen, it is good and comely for one to eat and to drink, and to enjoy the good of all his labor that he taketh under the sun all the days of his life, which God giveth him, for it is his portion. So, you know, I mean, it's not all doom and gloom, you know. You know, we can all, I guess we can all have nice houses and things, you know. Why not? Because America's a rich nation, or has been. Should be again someday, hopefully soon. Chapter 9 and verse 4 and 5. Chapter 9, verse 4 and 5. For to him that is joined to all the living there is hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. And that's like the, you know, I'd rather be a dead chicken than a, how's that go, than a live chicken than a dead duck. But this, where it says living dog, that's the most despicable creature of all the creatures in the Bible. A dog is despicable, the things he does in public. All right, so in verse 5, for the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything, neither have they any more a reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. But there's nothing in the grave that we're going to think about. And in Dorothea's case, she's going to wake up in one split second from now, and along with a lot of other people we've known, who's going to wake up at that same exact split second. And you know, we have a little bit longer to wait. We still have time that the Lord has a purpose, a plan, and a purpose for our lives. But at this point, you know, we go on to what we were called, what he called us for, and to receive the that he has for us. And we have no clue of really how great it's going to be. Okay, then in verse 12, chapter 12 and verse 1. Chapter 12 and verse 1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. So, this happens, and it's amazing some people have the strength, in some cases, you look at people how they keep going on and going on, and it's a true testimony. And I've known so many people all the way to the end who just remain faithful to his word. And you have too. We could just go down and start naming them. But anyway, at some point you start to lose strength. And I guess the fight gets to the point where, you know, what can you do at some point? But, you know, basically, we're put on earth, and we have, we're raised a certain way, let's say. So, some of us get raised real well, some of us get raised real bad, but the Word is capable of pulling it. No matter what we go through, whatever we were raised with, and whatever, no matter what we go through. So, his plans and purposes, you know, for us, and we can see it all the way through the Word. And as I'm gonna keep going here, that was the first section. That was the first part of this lesson. Oh, there is one more verse I'd wanted to read. That's in 7:2 of Ecclesiastes. Yeah, I'd like to read that one too, because I think this might be a misinterpreted verse. It is better to go to a house of mourning. See, when you say it's better to go to the house of mourning, that sounds like a funeral home. But depending how well you know the person, like in the South, they used to put people out on the table. Like my mother said that her father laid out on the table for a day or two after he died. And so that is a house of mourning. That's not like where a bunch of people get together and go to a funeral home. Although some translations of the Bible actually use the word funeral home. So, but anyway, this is a house of mourning and suggests that you know the person very well, you know, perhaps as we talk of Dorothea maybe. But you lay it to heart. Like when your mother and father go, that's the real critical one because now you start thinking about your own mortality in a different way than you did before when they were still on earth. You can't die now because they're still alive, you know, so to speak. All right, so now I want to talk a little bit about his plans and purposes in the Bible as they come out, as she would tell it, hopefully. But in Acts chapter 2, let's go to Acts chapter 2, verses 22 through 24. Okay. All right, and here's Peter talking. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Okay, let me come back to that. Okay, so him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. You know, letting them know, reminding them that none of that was deserved, that what they did to him, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. So this is the whole crux of the matter here. You know, we talk about, living and dying and the daily struggles and so forth. But in the end, we're going to be loosed from these pains of death. And we'll know why we went through all these things. And there was a purpose and a plan behind it. Then verse 24 says, whom God hath raised up, having the pains of death, that he should not be holden of it, that is, holden of the pains of death. So, all right, so there's an example of things that Christ had happened first. These things happened back in the Gospels, and Peter's telling about it. And let's look at, I'm only going to look at two examples, though. Matthew 14, chapter 24, Matthew chapter 14, verses 24 to 27. Okay, and, oh yeah, okay, you know this one. Okay, here we have the walking on the water. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. This is sort of like our life. Sometimes we go through tumultuous storms, so to speak. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And it wasn't a calm sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. So here, Christ, and in all of his signs and miracles, these are all statements about God's plans and purposes. And Christ here is saying, I have control over the elements even. Let's go down to verse 32. And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. says, I was in the beginning with God. So that, you know, this is who we're speaking of here in these, all of these actions he did had a message behind it. So, everything builds on something else, and as we build and build, we get to the mystery in the end. So there are two examples right there. You know, trust me, I'll get you through the stormy patches. Believe in me, I can control the elements. Water also is displays the idea of life itself. Without water, you cannot have life. So we see that in baptism, it's symbolic of spiritual life. But here he walks on water. He's saying, I have command over all things. And then in John, remember this verse in John 21:25. That's the last verse in the book of John. I didn't put a tab on it. And I want to read this verse because we don't have a clue of the intricacies and the order, the perfect order that God has in the universe, in our lives, in every aspect of everything. And in verse 25, John 21, and there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world could not contain the books that should be written. So that's been a head scratcher for anyone who's ever read that verse. But the fact is, he performed. When Christ lived, he showed himself as very God himself. So he displayed himself as the Word does, as God. So, and one illustration she brought up was Moses. You know, there's three distinct periods in his life. And it shows God's plans and purposes. You know, the first one was at the River Nile, where Moses was a baby. Then 40 years takes place. The second one, he killed one of the Egyptians. So obviously he knew, that he was raised an Israelite. His mother actually raised him. And then the third, of course, God said, you're going back to Israel, and you're going to be the lawgiver. So these are all things that had to be done just right for it to happen. And if I could say it with half the excitement that she said it, it would sound better. But then we have the same thing with Paul, three periods in his life. Each stage showed something that transpired and that was all had to happen in a certain way so that he could be used by God to reveal not only the mystery, but the things that set the stage for the mystery before that. So, there you have a few thoughts. Quickly, let's go to Appendix 198. I just want to make one comment. That's the last appendix. And this is the whole Bible looked at from an overall view, dispensationally. And if you look in the very center, it says H and H. So all these things from A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, all these things already happened. Now you can put a line between the two H's, and that's the mystery. Now read the first H. There's a note there. It says, it talks about Acts 13 and on, and earlier Pauline epistles. See that note? So you can put 7 on the upper side of that line. And now, all of these things from H on down are things that still have to happen. But the mystery is the very center of it. So here's a line right in. That's what a beautiful outline that that Bollinger came up with here. One of the most succinct. And if you look at each one of those, I mean, they all fit perfect. So that was something that made me think that we're in the right message here. So. I guess in conclusion, I'll just say that God has His hand in each of our lives. He had it in hers. It's regretful how it happened, the way it went out, because she once made a statement that that if as long as this man who was in her life, as long as he's in her life, she will never be able to get on Pal Talk again. And you know how much she loved that. But that's something that we're leaving in the Lord's hands. I don't envy that man if there was anything nefarious that went on there. But these are things that come along in our lives. And he took her quickly. I think it happened in a split second. Of course, I don't know 100%, but that sounds like what happened. But all these things make us stronger. I've went through some things that helped me deal with my own life and maybe hopefully say a thing or two every now and then to help others. But the Word can do anything. It can heal anything, and it can give us a sound mind. But one more verse. It's in Philippians 3:17. I'm going to read 17, 20, and 21, and then I'll close in a word. Verse 17, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. So, yes, it's true. If you don't know this verse, you can't please the Lord. If you don't use Paul as an example, because that's who God chose to be an example for us. If you decided, no, these are the writings of Paul, I want to follow the writings of Christ. Well, you can't please the Lord if you have that attitude. Because you can't learn anything about Him if you do it that way. Verse 20, for our citizenship, we're citizens, we're all members of a family, and it's in the heavens, from which also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. So it's all going to be worth it. It's a struggle, and the Lord knows everything in each and every one of our lives. He knows everything that's going on. So with that, I'm going to close in a word of prayer. Thank you again, Lord, for this time you've given us. We pray that you will keep us in your word and getting to know you better and better. We thank you for each one here that if anyone needs special requests from you, Lord, we put that in your hand. We know that you're capable and you will do great things of our lives. Thank you for each and everyone in the ministry that we all have. We thank you in your great, precious name. Amen.